and you have to go to work, that puts everybody at risk. That spreads the pandemic. If you're moving between friends' houses because you don't have a home yourself, that puts everybody...
I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Woodhouse Pizza in Greenville, New York. The restaurant is located on the grounds of the Woodhouse Lodge and offers takeout, dine-in, and outdoor seating. Open Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 9 p.m. Expanded hours start soon. Information at thewoodhouselodge.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Voter suppression and the filibuster. More Confederate monuments to tear down. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Majority rule in the United States, expressed through our scattershot state-by-state, county-by-county election systems, appears to have survived 4 years of President Donald Trump. Actual power, however, resides in an entrenched, overwhelmingly white Republican minority. True, the Democratic Party, through massive grassroots voter mobilization, took the White House and the Senate and retains its slim majority in the House of Representatives. Despite that, Senate Republicans wielding the filibuster, a vestige of the slavery era, still hold the power to veto almost all federal legislation. Case in point is H.R. 1, the For the People Act of 2021, passed by the House on Wednesday night as Congress members scrambled to finish business and leave Washington early due to reported threats of potential violence from Trump-supporting white supremacist adherents of the QAnon conspiracy theory. H.R. 1 has been described as the most sweeping pro-democracy bill in decades, improving voter registration and access to voting, ending partisan and racial gerrymandering, forcing the disclosure of dark money donors, increasing public funding for candidates, and imposing strict ethical and reporting standards on members of Congress and the U.S. Supreme Court. You'd think a pro-democracy bill would be popular in the world's oldest democracy, yet not one Republican voted for it. And unless all 50 Senate Democrats unite to end the filibuster, which they could do with a simple majority vote, H.R. 1 and many more bills to come will die at the hands of the Republican Senate minority. The late conservative activist Paul Weyrich, co-founder of the Heritage Foundation, laid out the Republican playbook in 1980.
I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Republican strategy relies on voter suppression. Republican-controlled state legislatures have launched an unprecedented assault on voting rights, attempting to reverse advances in the franchise hard won over the last century and a half. More than 250 bills have been forwarded to limit voter access. The Supreme Court, now packed with Republicans, is expected to put its partisan finger on the scale of democracy as well, gutting what remains of the 1965 Voting Rights Act in an Arizona case heard this week. Channeling Weyrich while arguing against a lower court's rejection of Arizona voter suppression tactics before the Supreme Court, the lawyer for the Arizona GOP candidly stated,
"It puts us at a competitive disadvantage relative to Democrats. Politics is a zero-sum game."
The Georgia Assembly passed HB 531 this week, along strict party lines. The bill was described as textbook voter suppression by Democratic Georgia Assembly member Jasmine Clark.
"This bill reduces restricts and limits every single aspect of our elections.
HB 531 includes provisions that require strict photo identification to obtain an absentee ballot, would limit the number of ballot drop boxes and require the boxes to be kept indoors, limiting access to them, would severely curtail early voting, and perhaps most importantly, would reduce or eliminate early voting on Sunday, a day on which African Americans have traditionally voted after church in great numbers in what's known as souls to the polls.
This is really a new form of Jim Crow.
That's Ari Berman, author and reporter for Mother Jones, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
They are targeting the voting methods that were used the most by Black voters in states like Georgia, that led to record turnout, that helped flip Georgia blue and elect two Democratic senators. We're seeing it all across the country, how Republicans are breaking democracy. They are pushing extreme gerrymandering to try to keep power in the states and to try to take back the House in 2022. They are using the filibuster so that 41 GOP senators representing just 21% of the country can block everything from a $15 minimum wage to legislation to restore the Voting Rights Act.
Republicans are not alone in restricting votes of people of color, though. Democratic Congressmember Cori Bush of St. Louis, a Black Lives Matter activist and formerly unhoused single mother, submitted an amendment to H.R. 1 to enfranchise those imprisoned with felony convictions. Currently, only Vermont, Maine, and the District of Columbia allow prisoners to vote. Democratic Congressmember Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, a member of the squad, proposed lowering the voting age to 16. Both amendments submitted by these progressive African-American women would have significantly increased voter enfranchisement in communities of color. Both amendments failed because Democrats joined Republicans to vote them down. Grassroots mobilization won the Democrats this narrow window in which to pass progressive legislation, from protecting and expanding the right to vote to providing universal health care and a living wage. Pressure is needed now more than ever to ensure that minority rule, enforced with the slave-era filibuster, does not stand. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
isn't fair. You don't want me to cry no more.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. That song was Hit the Road by Jack. Stay tuned for a segment on COVID and a new segment that we just created today. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. The local vaccine news continues to get better. The Daily Freeman reports that on March 4th, more than 1,100 Ulster County senior citizens received a first dose of COVID-19 vaccine at SUNY Ulster in Stone Ridge, and County Executive Pat Ryan said 100 doses of the new single-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine will be given to homebound seniors March 5th. Ulster County is set to vaccinate a record number this week, with more doses arriving there since January. President Joe Biden said on March 2nd that all Americans would have access to the vaccine by the end of May. Ryan said, and I quote, "I feel very confident that if we got the supply tomorrow, we could get everybody vaccinated in 2 months," end quote. In Hudson, there is a pop-up vaccination clinic for the minority and underserved community on March 6, organized by Bill Hughes for the 1199 census tract, which includes Hudson's 2nd Ward and part of the 4th Ward. It's good for folks aged 65 and over and is being held at the Hudson Firehouse at 77 North 7th Street. Hughes said, and I quote, "Our intention is to saturate the 2nd Ward with calls, then move on the 4th. You don't want people not getting the shot because they don't know about it," end quote. The percentage of local citizens who have received at least one dose is reaching 15% and higher. As of March 4th, 18.3% of people in Columbia County have received one dose, and 14% of Greene County residents. Ulster County is at 15.6%, and Dutchess County is at 14.3%. In Albany County, the percentage is 20.5%, and 17.1% of folks in Rensselaer County have received at least one shot. That's good news. The bad news is that the most recent 48-hour rate of positive COVID-19 tests in Ulster County is 4.57%, which is, according to Ryan, and I quote, "not a tolerable level," end quote, and puts county residents, and I quote, "at a significant risk of spread," end quote. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. According to the Quinnipiac University poll released March 4th, the majority of New York voters do not think Andrew M. Cuomo should step down as a result of the two significant issues he is currently facing. The poll found 55% of participants believe the governor should remain in office, while 40% support his resignation. Cuomo is facing allegations of sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior leveled by three women. At the same time, the governor and his administration are under scrutiny for how the state officials handled and reported nursing home fatalities during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the poll, Cuomo still has the support of Democratic voters. 74% say he should remain in office, but 70% of Republicans are calling for his resignation. Independent voters are more evenly split, with 52% backing resignation and 44% opposing it. However, by a larger margin of 59% to 36%, participants believe Cuomo should not seek a fourth term, which he has signaled he will do. Cuomo's job approval rating is now at 45%, while disapproval is at 46%, a 30% point drop since the Quinnipiac poll conducted a year ago. The voter approval of his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic has fallen from 81% in May to 56% approval in the survey released this week. A margin of 59% to 27% of voters are not satisfied with the governor's explanation of the sexual harassment allegations leveled against him. Cuomo has denied touching anyone inappropriately, but has acknowledged he sometimes attempts to make jokes in the workplace and apologize to anyone who may have been offended. The poll of 935 registered New York voters was conducted from March 2nd to March 3rd, and you can read the full story at newyorkstateofpolitics.com. Aaliyah Snyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson School District Board of Education resumed in-person meetings Tuesday, March 2nd, with no plans to live stream or record its meetings going forward. Superintendent Maria Stuttermeyer said the school district is not required to live stream its twice-monthly meeting. Stuttermeyer said in a statement, and I quote, "We only live stream when we do not meet in public," end quote. She said further, and I quote, "The board is not obligated to live stream the meetings," end quote. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said, and I quote, "I wish the school system had as open a system of meeting as we have here in the rest of the city," end quote. The Hudson District's website has an archive of video recordings dating back to March 2020, when in-person meetings were suspended due to the coronavirus pandemic. The meetings this week took place in a classroom with tape on the floor marking desks 6 feet apart, and attendees wore masks. Stuttermeyer said, and I quote, "We always plan to return to in-person meetings, and we are slowly getting back to whatever normal we can as a district," end quote. Stuttermeyer said the change to in-person meetings was announced on the district's website, at sporting events, and on the school's electronic sign. However, there was no clear announcement about the change until Wednesday, the day after the meeting. DiPietro does not know how soon it will be before the Common Council will start to meet in person. He said it depends on when the council members feel comfortable. DiPietro hopes the city can afford to continue live streaming meetings via Zoom after in-person meetings resume. The council meetings will continue to be live streamed on WGXC-FM as they were before the COVID-19 shutdown. Editor's note, DiPietro is a WGXC volunteer programmer. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting the Ulster County Police Reform and Reinvention Plan for the County Sheriff's Office was approved by Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee of the County Legislature late March 3rd. Legislator John Peretti said, to some degree, the report is a, and I quote, "wish list," end quote, but Sheriff Juan Figueroa called it a compromise and noted the county had a hard deadline of April to file it with Albany. Committee Chair Eve Walter doubted the governor's staff will actually review each of the several hundred reports that will be filed at the same time. She noted, and I quote, "I don't believe anyone in the governor's office is going to read hundreds of these reports that are going to come because every municipality in the entire state has to do it," end quote. She added, and I quote, "That said, should anyone look at it, they will see it is a very thorough job," end quote. Lawmakers noted that some components of the report address projects already underway, such as restorative justice. The full county legislature must now approve the plan before it is sent off to Albany. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 5th. The day starts off early this morning with a temperature of 12 in Windham and 21 in Cheviot. Those will climb to 32 degrees at 3 p.m. Wind gusts will still be around today, increasing from 20 miles per hour this morning to 30 miles per hour this afternoon. Overnight, a little snow is expected to fall with some possible icing and a low of 20 degrees. Less than an inch is expected to accumulate. Tomorrow will be calmer with wind speeds only in the teens and a high of 30 degrees. Sunday looking very similar with a high of 32. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:38 a.m., high tide at 7:38 a.m. low again at 2:31 p.m. and high again at 8:07 p.m. Sunset today will be at 5:35 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:20 a.m. Looking way up, we see a solar wind is due to strike today or tomorrow with G1 class storms expected. Solar wind speed is currently 383.5 kilometers per second at 6.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation is generally fair with good transmission occurring on the 160 to 80 meter bands. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 32, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdemar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. 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 It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mind us your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
Hello.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
No, you good.
You were just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song made in our tracks music program by DJ WIC. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
DJ Popcorn,
DJ Sean Money,
and Phoebs. What's up, y'all?
So for our first segment, we're gonna be talking about COVID, right?
Yeah.
What you doing? So first off, I'm gonna just have y'all explain your opinion. Like, what's y'all opinions on COVID? Like, how do you feel about it?
I've got some fear that, yeah, like, it feels like a really dangerous time to me right now about COVID, honestly, because everyone's like, vaccines are coming, the end is near, let's go back to normal, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's still really dangerous, so it's, that makes me nervous, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know if you guys know what the Spanish flu was, but it was like this thing, and it was very like, it was kind of like COVID, like it was like quarantining some people and stuff, and they thought that it had ended, right? And everybody went out and started celebrating and had a parade, right? Like a huge parade with like 250,000 people, like a great, like a gigantic parade. And then they got hit with the second wave of the flu.
That's tough.
Before they even like finished, you know, celebrating, hit with it again, and it was worse the second time, of course. So that's like a big concern when it comes to COVID about celebrating too early and then having it, you know, come back even worse with like a vengeance, you know?
Yep.
I got a question for y'all.
What's up?
What's your prediction? Like, do you think that like COVID will, like, I feel like COVID obviously will go away eventually, but I mean, like, if you had to like guess like an estimate, like what year would you say?
I'm saying
like we would have to stop wearing masks and stuff.
Oh well, I mean, some people still don't be wearing masks. So I don't,
I mean, like, me, what would you like? I mean, like, kind of like back to normal type.
Back to normal. I don't think it's gonna ever go.
Or like a normal adjustment to like,
okay,
not normal, but like
the new normal.
Yeah.
Probably around 2024, 2025. That's my
2025. Wow. What about you?
I just feel like I don't think we'll hit any type of normal by any time soon. So I like what Lincoln was saying. 2024, probably by the time I graduate, I'll probably be
2024, 2025. Yeah,
I'll probably have
by the time you graduate.
But I just don't think that they'll want to like play around with things too much, where we won't have the opportunity to not wear a mask. Like, I'm gonna wear one regardless, and I know that's how it has to be.
Okay.
So yeah.
Now, Fee, what about you?
Yeah, what about you?
That makes sense to me. I think it's like COVID will never go away. It's a virus that lives on our earth now. You know, the thing's been released. It's like the flu, right? Like, you know, it's just we gotten used to how to live with the flu. And I feel like what makes 2024 make sense, right? Because you got a couple years of getting like more and more sort of vaccination happening. The thing about vaccines is like, it's not just about us. It's about the whole earth, right? Like all the people, because this thing came from other countries, right? At some point, like we travel internationally. So I think that's a good estimate to think about when we'd actually get to the point where there's like enough immunity from vaccination and that like it would feel okay. Take your mask off. I'm gonna be wearing my mask for a long time.
I'll
wear my mask at y'all's high school graduation.
Now y'all, I'm not gonna hold y'all. I feel like in like what did you say, like 2024, like around that time, we should probably like have like more high tech mask.
We'll probably be on like the iPhone 36 by then.
Something like that. But I mean, like, I feel like we should like
iPhone 36 comes with its own mask and stuff.
Imagine,
right, like iPhone
Apple
like,
mask.
Right.
Like probably.
AirPods 14, like
comes with a bundle of AirPod Pros. You haven't heard those in a while, folks. We're bringing them back. Like,
just imagine a mask that your AirPods can attach to on the like the strings.
That'd be valid. But I remember what I was trying to say. Because I forgot what I was trying to say, so I said that. But what I was trying to say is about the COVID vaccine shot, right? So we have a shot for, I guess you could say, quote unquote, basically everything, I guess.
Almost everything.
Almost everything. But we don't. But we don't. Like, we do, but we don't. And, like, me personally,
there's just certain things.
Yeah, right? Like, me personally, I wouldn't take it.
Yeah, that's beyond our research right now.
People that take it.
From what I've heard, it's safe.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
nah, because a bunch of my teachers are taking it. And right? They came back to school teaching all that.
And I'm like, whoa. And, like, it low-key kind of makes me feel very uncomfortable. Because, like, think of it. if it's a vaccine, right? A vaccine has the virus in it to prevent your
immunity. Well, the virus is dead,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
but think about it. We do that too. We do have our like our yearly flu shots every time we have to go back to
school. Yeah, but then you got to think there are some people that just don't take flu shots, and they're right. perfectly fine.
They don't get vaccinated.
Yeah, because they got strong immune systems. Flu but, shots aren't, they're not mandatory. They're not mandatory.
Yeah, right. Okay, but like, respectfully. COVID, y'all take your flu shots respectfully.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind me asking.
Yeah, I have to.
I mean, I think one of the things to think about is the relative risk maybe for yourself with taking a vaccine.
And so, on top of that, you also
got to. There might be somebody who's like, it's really hard for me to take a vaccine. I got other issues going on. I don't want to take that. If like 8 other people take it, they're probably still going to be fairly safe out in the world, not quite as safe as those other people, but like, hey, you should have the choice to, I think you should have the choice to be like, a vaccine's not for me, but like, that means I know I gotta like really make myself extra safe different ways. Nah, right? You can't expect everyone necessarily to keep doing the same practices.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean I want to hear your point though about like, it's sort of like for everything,
so
like this need to do a vaccine.
From what I think of, since You got to think, like, take in perspective that people's, like, living environments. Like, you could live with someone that's, like, extremely old, has a bad immune system. Like, me personally, I don't take the flu virus, I don't take the, oh my God, it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't take the, flu shot. And, because I know how my body reacts, because, like, look, you got to think of it, like, if you have something, like, a medical thing, and let's say you take the flu shot, right, think of all the years you've gotten sick, right, and how bad it's been, even though it's a dead, like, vaccine or shot, whatever, you still get sick off of it.
So the reason you're getting sick is because...
So that your immune system can get stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, like...
It teaches your immune system how to fight
but
it
then,
off.
Like, you have a double-edged sword, right? If you take it, you get sick, right, for a short amount of time. But on the other hand... But on the other hand, your body gets stronger from it. Now, the reason why I say it's a double-edged sword, right, is because you get sick, right? And think of it. You don't know how bad you're gonna, like, mind you, it could just be like a simple cough or sneeze or anything like that, but then there are some people that are like, have like it down bad. Like, the reason why I don't take the flu shot is because I know how my body is, like I was saying earlier, and like with me, I have very bad, like when I get sick, I barely ever get sick. My immune system, I barely ever get sick, right? So when I do take the flu shot, I took the flu shot once this year, it was accidental, and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to take it, because my mom, he was like, you want to take the flu shot just so you don't gotta come back, and I didn't know, so I was like, yeah, sure, and the flu shot kicked me, bro, and that junk went hard, because I mean, like, it was terrible.
Like, for me, with the flu shot, I know that when I take it, like, it's something that I have to take personally. Like, my parents make me take it. If I had the choice, I would still take it.
Really?
For the simple fact that my body does react a certain way to it. Like, when I get certain shots like that, like, my arm and stuff will swell up. Like, I won't feel so good for like a few hours maybe, but then I'll be fine. But it's not like I'll be greatly affected by it. Like, my immune system like learns over time. You know, oh, okay, this is good for me. Like, I can fight this off, and then, you know what I'm saying, I'll be good for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But that's really the only downside to the flu shot for me. And other shots in general, my arm just swells up like when I get shots.
Okay.
But no matter which arm it's on, but
so if it's like that with the flu shot.
Bro, when you were saying okay, I'm not gonna lie, I was trying to hold them while I laugh, because that was hilarious.
What?
Whenever Bubba was saying something, he's like, okay. That was
you're gonna all give laugh, right? But okay, so if it's like that with the flu shot, what about the COVID vaccine? You would take the COVID vaccine?
Okay, so with the COVID vaccine, nope. I'm on edge. I wouldn't take it for the simple fact that, like, the things that I've heard about it, everything that I've seen, but when people are saying that, I've seen people that I know people that have taken it that are fine, that like show that people know like that the recently launched vaccines are doing what they're supposed to, you know, which is supposed to fight off the virus or, you know, prevent it in some type of way and reduce the effects of the virus if you've already had it.
Then what's the difference between the COVID vaccine shot and the flu shot?
See,
it's because, like you said,
in some ways,
you come
it's
out
kind
fine.
Of a similar conversation. Yeah,
yeah, like
it's know, a, it's an appropriate just, comparison, I think. Like,
you know, but it's just
it's a slightly different type of vaccine.
Right,
it's a newer thing.
Yeah,
but like
it just came out.
Like,
just,
about it,
and it's just what I've heard about the vaccine is why I'm so on edge about that. But I'd gladly take the flu shot, but the COVID vaccine is something that I'm kind of on edge about. I'll have to learn more about it.
How come so many people are scared to take the COVID vaccine, but they're not afraid to take the flu vaccine?
I'm not going to hold you. I don't like taking shots.
Because the flu shot is something that's been around for years now, and we've had time to experiment the flu shot, and people have gone through it already. The COVID vaccine is something that's now been recently launched.
So think about years from now when, like our kids are, like, our great-grandkids, whatever, having this conversation, and, like, it's going to be a time where a new shot comes out for them. Talking about, yeah, we've had the COVID vaccine for years now. That's already been tested. Like,
I feel like at a point it may or may not become a normality.
Think so?
And I think the idea, like, you need to get a booster every year, like a flu shot will be normal too. And the thing that will do, just like the flu shot, is, and this is the beginning of this conversation, is about the fact that the virus keeps mutating, right, over time.
Yeah, it keeps getting worse.
So the flu virus does the same thing. And what happens every year is a bunch of doctors get together. They look at the research to say which strain of the flu or which 10 strains of the flu seem most common. And then they make the vaccine specifically designed to target those strains. And that's what everybody gets those years. So there might be a strain that's not covered, but it's pretty rare. And that's how they cut down. People do die from the flu every year, right?
Really?
People may still die from COVID every year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like 100,000 people die from the flu every year, right?
Oh, my God.
So there is
a
point, sadly, where normal is sort of a baseline that people do get sick and die. And I think, you know, the important things for me, I know we're coming to the end of this segment, but a couple things for me that I want people to remember about this vaccine. What it does is it has really positive results keeping people from ending up who get the virus having to go to the hospital or dying, right?
Yeah.
It helps protect against really extreme responses. What it does not protect against is you being an asymptomatic carrier, right? Mm-hmm. That's why the masks are still super important, even if you're somebody who's been vaccinated. You have to keep wearing your mask because you could still get your loved ones sick who aren't vaccinated, other people
That's
sick.
That's so true.
Yeah,
and it's still the same. It's not like it'll forever protect you from the virus. Like, you're immune. Like, you can
right, and that's the other thing too. If the virus, the other thing about COVID that I don't think people are talking enough about is about 20 to 30% of people who get COVID have what's called long hauler syndrome, where they have, it's kind of like low key, like weakened immune system and fatigue for months and months and months. Like fatigue, hard to get out of bed, short of breath, headaches.
God.
And yeah, so this is another thing about this that doesn't get caught in the data because it's not as exciting, I guess, as shocking to people as the death statistics. But for the 500,000 people that have died, many, many more times that have also gotten this kind of long hauler syndrome. So I just want people to know that, like, it does matter. Like, people do get, like, you know, it's not just about only 1% of people go to the hospital.
Yeah.
30% of people, right, might get this other side effect. So the mask wearing is super important. The vaccine will definitely save a lot of our loved ones, and that's awesome, but it's not a silver bullet, right? Like, we still got to take other safety precautions.
So, Lincoln, you've been pretty quiet. My fault.
Not yet, fact. Yeah, we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
But we are, like, the segment winding down and stuff. So we are going to take a break and play the 6:30 news, right?
Yeah.
So we will be back after that with a new segment. So stay tuned.
For sure. We're going to cut y'all.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. Greene County legislator William Lawrence has announced he will not seek re-election in November. The Cairo Republican has served in elected office for more than 40 years. Lawrence said, and I quote, "I have really loved the job of being a public servant for both Cairo and Greene County. I have devoted a large part of my life to this job, and I feel that I am leaving it in better shape than when I found it when I was first elected back in 1979. But now I want to relax and spend what time I have with my family, especially my great-grandchildren," end quote. Among those who have indicated interest in taking Lawrence's place is current Cairo Town Supervisor Republican John Coyne. Sherry B. True, co-president of the Cairo Development Foundation, has also said she will seek the Republican endorsement for legislator. True ran for supervisor 2 years ago as a third-party candidate. Cairo has 2 seats on the county legislature. Incumbent Democrat Harry Linden will seek a 6th term this year. Cairo Democrat Chair Valerie McIlvaney said 3 Democrats have declared their intent to run: Leonard William, Bill Sheriff, and Joe Colangelo. McIlvaney said the committee has endorsed Linden and Sheriff. Republicans Jason Watts and Monica Kenny Keff were vying for the GOP nod for town supervisor. McIlvaney said no Democrats have officially announced their candidacy yet. Cairo Republicans will caucus on March 18th at Gallagher's Banquet Hall. There is no date yet for a Democratic caucus. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greene County Sheriff's Office became an accredited agency March 4th for the first time in 30 years. The department is now one of 159 agencies statewide, including the Catskill Police Department, the Hudson Police Department, and the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, to be accredited by the New York State Law Enforcement Accreditation Council. Accreditation provides agencies with sets of administrative training and operational standards. The accreditation process was completed in a little more than 6 months. Greene County Sheriff Pete Kaminsky said accreditation was a goal for him personally and for the staff as well. Kaminsky said, and I quote, "The men and women of this office are committed to providing the highest level of professionalism and service to the community. The agency has gone through significant policy upgrades in a relatively short amount of time in order to meet the standards required for accreditation," end quote. Kaminsky said the sheriff's office must now maintain its accreditation status annually. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Art Forum reports that local art legend Barbara S. died March 4th at the age of 73. The magazine called her, and I quote, "a boundary-pushing photographer, musician, and writer, and the creator of a no-wave experimental media zine," end quote. S. taught photography at Bard College beginning in 1997 and has artworks in the permanent collection of New York's Whitney Museum of American Art, the Museum of Contemporary Art Los Angeles, and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. She is known for her pinhole photography and her 2001 collaboration with experimental filmmaker Peggy Awash on the album Radio Guitar for Thurston Moore's Ecstatic Peace label. She performed in No Wave Bands, Disband, and Y-Pans, and worked with avant-garde musician and composer Glenn Branca in Static. She told the L.A. Times, and I quote, "I think of my work as an investigation, and it's always concerned with the same question. Exactly what is the true nature of reality?" End quote. Read more about this story at Art Forum. The Daily Freeman is reporting the Barclay Heights Diner in Socrates will close its doors Sunday, March 7th, because the owner of the property wants to sell the building. Diner co-owner Linda Lopez said it is, and I quote, "very, very heartbreaking," end quote, that she and her husband Nick have to close the business. The diner is operated at One Village Drive on the corner of Route 9W for more than 60 years. Lopez and her husband have owned the business for most of the past 17 years. The news of the closing was posted online at BarclayHeightsDiner.com. The post states, and I quote, "Sadly, our time is up. Our hearts are very heavy as time is near. So many memories, fun, friends that became family," end quote. The post states that the closure has nothing to do with the pandemic or resulting shutdown. The Lopez's also own Selena's Diner on State Route 23A in Haines Falls. That restaurant will continue to operate. The couple sold the Barclays Heights Diner in 2010 following the death of their son, but returned in 2014. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi.
So, what's up? Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. I'm SKU's Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC broadcasting Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. So now, the new segment that we hyped up. Yeah, I know, I'm pretty sure you guys have all heard of Music to My Ears or Music to Your Ears. So we came up with a segment called Music to Our Ears. Okay. You know, music to both ours and yours, you know. So the first song we have is We Don't Talk Anymore by Charlie Puth.
Yeah.
Sure, I guess.
whose music is this? Music to whose ears?
Wait, what?
Is this music to Shahi's? Is this music to which?
I look, you kind of forgot. I'll do it as this song is playing. I didn't open the playlist yet, and I got a little sidetracked, you know me. So I'll do it as this song is playing.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
That's my fault. Well, yeah, we gonna get into the song. You feel me?
We feel you.
Talk anymore like we used to do. We don't laugh anymore. What was all of it for? Ooh, we don't talk anymore like we used to do. I just heard you found the one you've been looking. You've been looking for. I wish I would have known that wasn't me. Giving it to
you just right the way I did before.
I overthought, should've known your love was a game. Now I can't get you out of my brain.
Oh, it's such a shame that we don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore like we used to do. We don't laugh anymore. What was all of it for?
So that was We Don't Talk Anymore by Charlie Puth featuring Selena Gomez. How y'all boys feel about that one?
We Banger. Don't talk anymore. We don't Music talk anymore.
Banger.
I feel like that song's a classic, you know, song I remember back when, before TikTok, you know, musically.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Was up. I remember I used to go to the summer camp, right? And that was like one of the songs that we listened to the most. Every time we were in the van going to like a beach or something.
What? We don't talk anymore. What? That song?
Yeah. That's all you would hear in the car.
It's got good beach vibes. I feel that.
I'm not going to hold you. That song used to be a vibe.
Next up, we got Rude, you know, a classic 2013. By Magic with an exclamation point at the end. So yeah,
we gonna get into it. Do 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 bow.
I need to know.
Say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend. But no still means no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway. Marry that girl. Marry you anyway. Marry that girl. No matter what you say. Marry that girl. And we'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude? Yeah. Why you gotta be so rude? Why you gotta be so rude?
Vibes.
That was such a great selection.
I know, right? Like,
I'm not gonna hold you.
It's what I do.
It's what I do.
You know, that was a good song. I remember back in third grade, me and my friends, they would always sing that song, right? And I never knew. Ever.
I never understood it.
The only part I knew was, I'm gonna marry you anyways. That's the only part
I'm
I knew.
I'm gonna marry you anyway.
While they were sitting there singing the whole song. That felt so
I never understood that song.
Until now. Now I do.
Like, you know, like when you're a little kid and like you just hear, like you hear the word, but you don't hear the words. You hear the beat and like you hear the sound. You're like, yeah, it's a bop.
Yeah.
That's like how it was. I'm not going home with you.
Thanks.
And then like right, just now.
Do you have any Bubba or Phoebe? Do you have anything to say about it?
I think y'all got it.
Okay,
I agree. I also like. I don't think I ever really knew what that song was
right?
either until just now. All I know is I like to say, "Why you gotta be so rude?"
Yeah,
like, which I guess is probably from this song. Maybe I don't even know. But yeah. Anyway, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny to actually think about going up to like somebody you're dating's house and be like, "Hey, why you gotta be so rude to
right?
my parents?" Like, I can't imagine actually ever saying that, but. Whatever. It's a good one.
Next up. Wait, I thought we were playing Ride With Me next.
Well, I just wanted to play a quick classic if you wouldn't mind, but if you want to play that song.
Another, it's music. What is music to your ears right now, Shy?
Yeah. I'm not going to hold you. I feel like that one was an oldie, so I feel like we might as well just roll with the oldie. If it's all right with you.
Don't worry. We won't leave Nelly out. We'll get back to it.
Say alrighty.
Alrighty.
I'll take that as a yes, I guess.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Here we go.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship
other words, please.